Tonight, after the session, those of you who are taking these cards for credit will have a very simple test. We love tests, huh? And you will have a very simple test of filling the blanks and true and false, short and simple, and you're allowed to refer to your Bible. And we've covered on several points, but tonight we are trying to round out what we have touched on so far. You remember the process that leads to commitment. What's the first process? Admiration, followed by friendship, followed by a proposal or a commitment that takes place in what the people say a proposal that leads to marriage. And last week we have touched in some details in those areas. And tonight we want to talk about areas of attraction, areas that people can classify whether it is infatuation or it's love, or what kind of attraction. You may not realize it, but there are many types of attraction, not just physical attraction, because some attractions are soul attraction, and you need to differentiate those attractions from your from the leading of the Spirit in your life as God leads you in looking for a life partner. And for those of us who are really married, you could use these principles to analyze your own marriage and see where you have started off from, and perhaps you could improve further. And so let's look at four words that the Greek use for love. If you remember, in the Greek, there are four different Greek words for love. And one of them, which the world is very familiar with, is the word eros, E-R-O-S, which speaks about physical or sexual love. The second word is the word stoge, S-T-O-R-G-E, stoge. And that talks about family love, brotherly love, sisterly love, and more within a family, of a father to the children, children to the father and mother, parents and children, a kind of love that is present in a family. The third area of love we want to speak about is philia type of love, that is friendship love, if you want to call it that way, friendship love, philia. And philia love is one of the things that the Bible stresses quite strongly. In fact, the word philia occurs more frequently than the word agape in the Bible, if you check it up in your Greek Bible. Because in its various derivation, the word philia occurs many, many times. And then we have the word agape, which most of us are familiar with, A-G-A-P-E, agape, which speaks about God's kind of love that flows from the spiritual realm. And sometimes in the Bible passages, it has been used quite generally, but specifically we are talking about a revelation of God's kind of love that flows forth. Whatever type of marriage that can occur, as we know, there are three possible leadings of marriages that occur to third-party involvement, marriages that occur through physical attraction, marriages that occur through soul compatibility. And of all these three types of marriages we consider in the Bible, the main goal of any marriage is, the prime goal is love. Whether they started in the kind of love that God wanted them to, or whether they started as a third party where it's arranged by a third party where you do not know the one you're going to marry, then you grow in love from there. Whichever way it is important for us to know that love is the supreme goal of a relationship. That's why tonight we're going to cover all the different four types of love and understand its perspective in the Bible. Most people, and especially Christians who pray for their life partners, have a lease. After they come into the faith message, they come up with a lease. Some people have a very, very long lease. 99 thesis. On your list of what you desire in your life partner, remember these points as you pray for a life partner specifically. Sometimes they hear children teaching or they hear somebody else teaching and they begin to list. You have to divide your qualifications into what I call three categories. The first category is qualifications that you will never compromise. You will rather remain single the rest of your life and compromise those principles. So there will be certain qualifications that you leave that you will never for your life or for any life or in life or death compromise. So those, you leave them down. The second category of your qualifications that you listed, things like, example, she must be a musician. Or he must be taller than you. Or he must have a call to the ministry. Or he must be a minister of God. Or whatever. Those qualifications, we must put them under a second category by themselves. That is what? And under it, you can put, above the title, you can put the kind of person you like to be in partnership with for the rest of your life. Then the third category are qualifications that if he or she has it, that's much better. But if they don't have it, it's okay with you. Right. And as you go to your list that you have, some of you may have been holding your list for quite some time. You need to evaluate your qualifications and divide them. Because here is where the problem is. You could be looking through your qualifications every time you meet a potential guy. A potential guy or girl whose application is to you. So every time you meet a new friend, you pull out your qualifications. You would have some problem, but here are the problems. Some of your qualifications may be in seed form in that person. For example, you may list that a person is a musician, but then he or she is not a musician yet. You may list that that person is a man of God. You want to marry a man of God. So you list it down. He or she may not be called yet. So while you're looking for the man of God, here comes this businessman who always knocks at your door. And every time you pull out the list, you say, you don't qualify. Right off. And you keep turning no when it's God sending this guy right to your doorstep. And every night you go back and you meet Nelda and you say, oh God, where is he? The angels in heaven will be looking down and say, can't you see? Because your qualifications are such that you must have those qualifications before you marry the person. Then if I ask you to put some categories you're looking for in a person in a second category, where perhaps that person can develop that later. Not on the spot that you marry the person, that the person develops all these things. A person can change through time. Then the third area is some of those things can be let go. For example, you may say that, you know, she or he must be dark skin or light skin. Things are not very important. Perhaps after you marry them through the years, they love somebody. And then you ask for a dark skin, and then you really got one. Right? Also, that can change. Or they may be working in a factory and there was a chemical accident. And they got bleached. Permanently. So you never know. Some of those areas are what I call, they border on the ridiculous. In other words, they are personal things that are not very important. besides all these things, very, very important, before you list down 999 qualifications for your life partner, please check what qualification you have. If you have only two, you're asking for that person to have 999. It's something is wrong. You know? And the qualification you list sometimes is so high standard that only Jesus qualifies. Jesus is not going to marry you. So it's important for us to first, before you just list out your qualification from your heart, you have to also examine yourself. What do you have? Usually it's quite proportional. You will not find many times someone who is highly talented, highly successful, got a lot of qualities, marrying someone with half a quality. No, because here's the puzzle and the unfairness of life. Let me point to it. For a man, as they start out in life, the more successful they are and the more educated they become and the more they progress up the ladder of life socially, the more choices they have. It's a very unfair world. For the lady, the more she climbs up the social ladder, the less choice she has. It's actually very unfair, but it's a fact. And we need to realize that and teach this kind of thing so that, you see what happened in this revolution that has what we call male and female are now equal in a social world. In a sense they are, but in the practical things of life they still are not. They have equal rights, and we talk about equal rights, and what happened is, if a lady desires to look for a life partner, most of them take what I call a male mentality. For the man, it's okay. They can say, I don't want to be serious about any relationship. I want to pursue my career, my education, my career. It's okay for men because the higher they go, the more choices they have. But if the lady, especially the Christians, are not taught properly, and then they take that same kind of mentality, the male mentality, and they say, I'll put all these things aside and pursue my career. And so, because they did not open themselves to all these areas, without realizing the unfairness in society, which is the point I stated, the higher the man goes up, the more choices he has, the higher the lady goes up, the less choices he has. Because very few men will marry a highly qualified lady unless they themselves are highly qualified. Less choices. And so because of this unfairness, we must know the solution. The solution for ladies is to remember, don't get just caught up by the rat race for education and career. Understand that if God calls you and you know that you're not meant for the single life, be open even from the beginning. You don't have to jump into somebody's boat and go steady or something like that, or promise sumpah, wait for each other for the next 10 years. Right? You don't have to do all these things. But what happens is that generally modernized ladies are career-minded without realizing the unfairness in society, and they put aside all these friendship development, which is not necessary for the man, as I mentioned, because of the unfairness of society. The more the higher the man goes, the more the man becomes attractive to people. But it's unfair on the opposite for the lady. Because of that fact, we must understand the solution. So the lady that moves up the ladder must, in the process, while in the varsity, while in the university, while in the school, maintain brotherly, sisterly, filial relationships. But sometimes the world, even the Bible, never put men and women equal. Peter says in the epistle of Peter that ladies are the weaker sex, therefore we must take especially good care of them. Special grace and special care. See, God has made them different. But the worldly teaching and the worldly treasure is the equal right, equal right. And so they want to make everybody sexless until they go through the education and career that they're built. Then we think about this area of our male and femaleness. We sadly speaking, at the same time, the outside world is very unfair. By the time they face it, the lady has built all their career up, they may be 30 years old. And they look around, they say, hey, I'm not busy building my career exactly like my other colleague there, who is a man. This is what happened. If that lady, while she was building her career, maintained filial relationships with people, she would still have, quote-unquote, a lot of friends and potential applicants. This is the solution to the unfairness that we're pointing about. So from there, we want to come down to this fact. That as you're listening to this, whether you're in your teens or you're 21, which is why a lot of parents, especially Christian parents, they themselves put their daughters into that kind of situation. They say, cannot go around. Study. True enough, if it's an obedient girl, they study, they don't mess around everything, and then they are not active anywhere, they don't have some sort of fire relationship with people, all under your domination, comes out everything, and then by the time they grow, you'll be wondering, hey, why you don't have any friends on? But if you look yourself in the mirror, it's you who have put your daughter in a predicament. So there's all these things that are happening, and we need to look at it very honestly, confront the situation. We don't want to sit things under the comfort and ignore it. Which is why I say this thing is open. People who are young need to know, especially ladies. They need to understand that as they're pursuing a career, they must not be like the men. They must not. They cannot afford to be like the men if they're thinking of a marriage in the long run. They just have to maintain filial relationships, which may be difficult, but they must learn how to maintain it, which we're going to speak about. And for those of us who have learned this truth, and we say, you know, what shall I do now? Here I am, I have built my career, and I did not manage to build much filial relationships with people. That's why we're talking about building filial relationships and understanding the things that go on in our lives. Now, of all the three types of marriages, certain marriages did not result from love. But even if they didn't result from love, they must have the prime goal to end in the fullness and expression of love. And sometimes what happens is when a person enters a relationship before they really have grown in filial love. See, filial love is a second stage friendship, and admiration, friendship, and then a commitment. But when that state is bypassed, and here you are, you have to learn what you did not learn earlier. Somehow you got to get back on your homework that you neglected on all those filial relationships, even when you are married. And sometimes what happens is that people's background affects who they are attracted to and what attracts them. And because of that, people find it hard to differentiate between infatuation and true love. Let's point to the book of Genesis. And we want to talk about stoge relationships. Genesis chapter 24, verse 67. Brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And why do you think the Bible adds, the Holy Spirit adds the last phrase? It says, Isaac, after he married his wife, was comforted after his mother's death. The Holy Spirit is trying to point something here. Isaac had an emotional stogie vacuum in his life after his mother died. He was the only son, and you know what? The only child sometimes is like. They got the potential to be spoiled or to be really loved. So Isaac was the only child brought up. And as he grew up, when his mother died, that vacuum emotionally was there. There was a stogie vacuum. And Abraham looked and saw, hey, this Isaac is very, very lonely. Nothing I say, nothing I do can cheer him up. There was a big vacuum. Now, what was that vacuum made of? Stogie. Some people's vacuum is stogie. It was stogie. And so here, with a vacuum, Abraham found a wife to his servant. And you could see that the marriage partly was the meeting of stogie needs. But there was a vacuum of stogie. When people are attracted to each other, even among friends, there are reasons for it. Sometimes, now it's not always a clear-cut pattern, but the wound is the same, whatever the reaction. For example, people who lack motherly love, like for Isaac, praise God, his mother died only when he was quite old. Some people, their mothers may have died or may have gone somewhere, may never have known a mother. And so that stogie vacuum is in their lives. And as they mix around and grow up and mix around with friends, some of their infatuation, I call it infatuation because it's not love, comes out because of their need for a mother. Although emotionally they were looking for a mother to fill the gap, their mind tells them they're looking for a wife. And any lady who behaves very motherly, this person will very quickly get affected and infatuated. We call it falling in love. But the deep undercurrent is the vacuum of stogie. It needs to be filled. Now this is one of the causes of infatuation in people's lives. People who lack family love. Sometimes for the girl it could be the father. They have never had a proper relationship with the father. So anyone who potentially becomes a father figure could be a teacher, a pastor, a Bible study leader, a Christian evangelist, a successful business Christian friend, anyone who has a fatherly figure, they find themselves drawn like a magnet. Their heart beats. They find an attraction that comes. Now here is where you want to see the balance of these four types of love. You have to put eros at the bottom, agape at the top. Between them is stogie and phileo. Right? All the time we move in stogie and phileo love in our relationship with people. When we contact the spiritual realm, that's where agape love comes in. Now here is where the weakness of human beings come in. whatever type of love that they feel, storge or phileo, because human beings are not the perfect state and we cannot see into the spirit realm normally, we are very physical beings. In other words, we know the tangibility of things. It's easier to believe you have something only when you see it, that kind of thing. And you know it's real because you experience it, sense knowledge. What happens is that that infatuation or that attraction that came about because of its toge vacuum becomes expressed in a physical need and is pushed into eros area. So while the person actually sends a meeting of minds, see, sometimes the first thing you do is you don't fall in love with a person's body yet. In some cases you do, it's a direct physical eros attraction. But many times you fall in love with the person's character, the person's way, the person's mind, the person's ability, father figure, mother figure, that fills a vacuum. Then you have what I call a soul compatibility. And under that soul compatibility, through time, if you allow it, it develops into an eros attraction. Tonight, you have to be very honest with yourself as I guide through the teaching in your thought life. Very, very honest. We cannot see some things under the carpet, which is why in this series, we cover all things. It is better to acknowledge, let's say, that a lot of people find that they have sexual fantasies, and although they are born again, Holy Ghost baptized, fire baptized, immersed in water Christian, tongue talking, comes the overnight prayer, fast 3 times a week, once a year, 40 day fast, attends about 5 conferences per year, church 3 times a week, and they have a problem in their sexual life, both men and women. Here is where they must understand how to deal with it. If you sweep it under the carpet and you don't look at it face to face, at that part of yourself, you will never overcome. You must confront that part of your being. And here's the most important thing. Every time you feel an illegal eros attraction, illegal, you know it's wrong. It could be a teenage girl growing up and she has a storge vacuum. So storge vacuum causes her to be looking for father figure. So the first person who really has an influence on her life could be the teacher. Could be the teacher in the school. Happens to be Christian too. But the teacher is married. But somehow that teenager feels the attraction. It's illegal, but the attraction is there. You can't deny it. That's why the world has a song. How come it's wrong when it feels so good? They don't have the answer. They want to judge what is right by the feeling. And they will always miss it. Here we are analyzing very deeply the causes, the effects, the things that are going on. So what happens is that whosoever, it could be an attraction. If you're honest with yourself tonight, you would, in the sight of God, God knows your history. From the time you were oneself till now, anywhere where you have failed, anywhere where you've been tempted in, God knows. And if a Christian will be very honest with you, even though some of them could be legally married or some of them are already going steady with a person, yet they still feel some sort of infatuation and attraction from time to time with different people.
How do you confront it? What is it? Remember this. Every time when you begin to feel you develop a sexual fantasy towards a person, it's illegal and it's wrong. It's not that person. It is a revelation of something inside you that you have to ask the Holy Spirit to show you clearly what it is. And the day when you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your life to yourself, you begin to understand and say, hey, this infatuation actually is out of my past. I need this father figure, or I need this mother figure. I like that mother's attention. I like that father's attention. And out of that filial relationship you develop, you see, soul-gate vacuum, you develop filial relationship, and it begins to have serious attraction. All these underlying things are playing. They are not separated one by one. They all flow one into another. And every time you have a wrong attraction to people, it is a revelation of a flaw in your soul maker. You have to bring it before the Lord and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I ended it there. Show me what is wrong inside. And God will show you the vacuum. Usually, it's in the stogie area. That's why your filial relationship becomes imbalanced. But praise the Lord, the day you could admit it and deal with that, not just by putting it away and saying, no, this is wrong, you know. Now, wrong thoughts can come from the devil. They can also come from your own soul. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, that let no man say when he is tempted that it's God who tempts him, but he's tempted of his own lust from inside. So, what happens is, in the world and in the fallen state of man, every vacuum or need of soge, as a person matures into an adult, they seek to have that met through filial, which will end in wrong. It's a natural pattern that they want to consummate that relationship that meets the need. And sometimes it's a mutual attraction. It could be illegal. Mutual attraction. And from filial, if you push it further, it begins to go into eros. And we need to understand the day you could analyze it with the light of the Holy Spirit and realize, hey, there's something going on in my body, in my soul. It's beyond my control. You begin to pray for God to show it to you. God will begin to shine His light into the depth of your life and show the lack of soul in your life. Then when you begin to allow the agape love of God to meet that soul, you will be able to deal very, very intimately in the final level with people without eros coming in. One of the most powerful things is that when you learn to say no to an illegal eros, the relationship carries on in a deep filial level where you could draw new energy and resources from the depth of your spirit. And you do know where that is. Now let's look at Jesus as an example in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. One of the most remarkable things in our Lord Jesus' life is how He could closely, with a physical human body, closely relate to human beings, both male and female, and yet not allow it to move into eros, but tap it at the agape level. But tonight we want to see in secret how you could maintain the walk that he had. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. In other words, she was a harlot. When she knew that Jesus sat at a table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw him, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." I want you to understand that this woman was no ordinary woman. She knew what it was like to touch a man with sexual intention. She knows what it's like. Yet here she is, washing and touching Jesus' feet. And men, be honest with me. If a lady touches you, if you don't have any eros attraction, you may not be tempted. But supposing that it's a beautiful lady and you have some sort of final relationship built up so far. And remember, at all final relationship level, it has a potential of dropping into eros if you are not careful. Always have to be on your guard. It just takes two to consent, and that will be the end of the relationship that God has built so beautifully. And then that is done at that level. Let's say the lady comes and starts washing your feet and takes a long, long time. Could you be like Jesus, not to be aroused sexually and maintain the pure kind of love towards the lady? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He was in close contact with male and female, and he allowed only that pure agape to flow out to him. How was he able to do that? He did it at a final level. And not only did the woman wash his feet with his hair, it says in verse 45, "You give me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased kissing my feet." She was then taking his feet all through the dinner. Now, man, you'll be honest, if there's a beautiful lady and you have final relationship and she's attractive, you will be aroused, except your morality may tell you no. But let me point to Jesus. He was so completely saturated in the spirit that only agape love flow out from him. Because Jesus has no vacuum in his life. If you have a vacuum in your life, you will be susceptible to eros fantasy. Now you know why people are more susceptible to fall in the sexual sin, some are not. It depends on the vacuum in their life. Whether Almighty God has filled that vacuum with agape love, or whether Almighty God has not been allowed in, and the wounded soul is still there, then you'll be very susceptible. Incidentally, the word fire is a very powerful word in its combination. The word hospitality, phileo xenos, is from the root word phileo, The word, the intellectual word, philosophy, is the Greek word, philosophia. Talks about the love for wisdom. The word king in the Greek is the word philema, from the word phileo. When Paul says greet one another with a holy kiss, he's talking about philema. The kiss that came out not out of eros but out of philema. How is that possible? What kind of level is the Bible asking us to live? How did Jesus reach that state of total control? Now that is not the only woman he was very closely associated with. Look at the Gospel of John. It's a totally different incident. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and here let's observe some play on the Greek word. In verse 5, John 11 verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So I would say Jesus had a very special relationship with them. The Greek word for the word love there is the word agape, agapao in the verb form. So Jesus loved them. He had a very close relationship with them, for he always stayed in the house. How many people can you stay in their house for a long period every time they go? So you must have a very close relationship. Whenever you go to the town and you stay with that family, you must have a very close rapport with the family. And Jesus had that close relationship with the Lazarus family. Every time he was in Bethany, it's their house. And he stays in. And then Jesus had a very close tie with Lazarus and his two sisters. In fact, he was so close that the Bible, this was the observation of people, here in the book of John chapter 11, we read how Lazarus died, and when he had died, in verse 33, therefore when Jesus saw weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he grew in the spirit was troubled. Now he was not just emotionally sad for them, there was more revelation of a spiritual authority that came into his life at that time, as we said. And but verse 36, look at what they say. Then the Jews said, see how he phileo him. Did he use the word agape? See how he loved. Whatever they, although they didn't understand why Jesus cried, it was more than just a normal soul sadness of meeting a good friend. A friend you love so much, that's what he interprets. Of course, we have talked about the five sensations of the human spirit, and we reveal that there's more to that than just the emotional carry. But here is what the outsider looks at it. Now there's no doubt that Jesus' relationship with them included that. When they look at it, they think that Jesus cared, and he was such a good friend, he could be his best friend died. And he is showing so much affection. Because it's more than that. He did love him, but it's not just that he cried. There's a groaning in the spirit that we are talking about the word authority here. But he used the word phileo to express the closeness of Jesus' hand. So close that Mary and Martha was not like the other ladies. They could just come to Jesus and say, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. They were very close with him. And in chapter 12, after Lazarus was resurrected, in verse 3, see how close Mary was. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Apparently, Mary used to do these things. She was in such a close relationship with Jesus that she had touched Jesus many times. yet there was no eros relationship, it was pure agape and filial relationship. Question, how did Jesus maintain his strength and his purity? As we have said, you put all the four types of love together, and you understand that filial love includes everything that you could think about in the friendship area. Filial love is the tie that deals with the attraction. That's what we're talking about, attraction coming in. Admiration becomes attraction. Because filial includes the realm of the mind. Philosophia. Filial includes the realm of physical caring, hospitality, philodenon. See, filial reaches into very practical friendship areas. And what happens at a filial level is that you move into a close friendship with people. Now, as you all know that on the three areas, point 1, point 2, point 3, or admiration, friendship, and proposal, that it doesn't need to be everybody that you move 1, 2, 3. You could move from the 1 and 2 and remain at 2 with people on a very lovely relationship. If you could good friends with a brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord, even on the opposite sex, without any wrong thing coming in, possible in Christianity. But how do you preserve that? How do you maintain that kind of relationship? That's where we need to understand that filial gives you the energy to reach out, to love, and to care. In the book of John chapter 13, when it talks about how Apostle John was leaning on Jesus' bosom, and he talks about him in John chapter 13, I believe it was 25. Let's look over the next few chapters. He says, then leaning back on Jesus' breast or bosom, he said to him, Lord, who is it? But you notice in verse 23, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The word love there is the word filial. When the Bible talks about that friendliness, in the physical realm, not in the spiritual realm. When the Bible talks of friendliness in the physical realm, it's a filial relationship. Never an agape relationship. I'll express what agape truly means after. So that all the physical aspects of what we know in human terms, of companionship, of comradeship, of good colleagues that work together, that flow together, all these fall into the realm of filial friendship level. That is why it's expressed that then John, you know, just lean on the person, just like sometimes people are real buddies. Perhaps the same graduation class that you came out from in your varsity, or your old friend, even though you may have passed about 10 or 15 years, and even though sometimes some of them do not know the Lord, and all of them could be in different fields, expert in their field. Then when they come together, they all behave like little boys again. Very pally. There's some sort of final relationship that is real between them. And how some times of filial relationship, you find that people, you know, just hug one another, they praise the Lord. What is all this kind of relationship? All this kind of touching? Filial level. Not agape. Remember, agape never involves all these things. A boy cannot say to the girl or another boy, I agape you and give a hug. Because agape love doesn't involve a hug. I'll tell you what agape means afterwards. It's only filial love that expresses itself in its physical form. Because the very word kiss is from the word filial, feeling love. Filial love deals with all these aspects of reaching out. Togi love is the love that sets boundaries. Boundaries. Just like a father can touch a daughter, but with no wrong intention. I'm not talking about the world's intent. Right? And every one of you knows it. Every one of you, if you're a mother, you know it. If you're a mother, you know it. When your children touches you and hug you, it's different from when your husband hugs you and touches you. Yet a touch is a touch is a touch scientifically. You could analyze the scientific pressure of a touch is the same. But it's what goes on behind that determines its differences. See, among family members is different. Brothers and sisters different. Relationship is different. So the touch is different. Now hold it there, a lot of people begin to use the word fighter to excuse themselves for Iran. Oh sister, no, I just love you, the love of the Lord. Give your heart. Say, oh, this is just agape. Agape never touches. The only love and touches are these other three. Phileo, Toge, and Eros. Agape loves touches in a different way. So a touch can convey so many things. A touch can convey so many things. Isn't it a puzzle in the Bible? On one hand, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, do not touch a woman. Right at the end, 1 Corinthians 16, say, greet another with a holy kiss. We are sketching our head in Asia here. We know it cannot be practiced. You know why? You know why that part of the Bible cannot be practiced? Because it's subject to a lot of abuse. So you take the principle and leave out the method, which is a safeguard. Because of the world we live in. In the world we live in, just like I was talking to Jerry Holmes, just because he's single today and he's quite part he's about middle age, people think then therefore he must be homosexual. Right? The devil may put some of those thoughts in your mind. In some others. It's just because of the world, the evil that's in the world. So when people come into the church and you have a song that instead say, I love you with the love of the Lord, and you go and put 1 Corinthians 16 in. Drink one another with the Holy Spirit. It's subject to a lot of abuse. And you'll find that you have church growth for wrong reasons. And then you'll also find that certain people get kicked, certain people don't get kicked. Yeah, you have a lot of unbelievers in the church. And they come for the wrong reason. Because it's subject to abuse, we take the principle and leave out the method of abuse. But here we are talking about a touch can convey so many things. Why is it? In a family, it's different. When you cross the boundary line, it's different. And then a touch can mean different things at different times, different seasons. Different times, different seasons. And like in a prayer meeting, you could be laying hands on a person and praying for them. But you are generally praying for the person. Perhaps some of you are counseling. You're praying for and the person is weeping before you. So you learn, got to lay hands to pray. But even that system can be abused. Overnight prayer, let's say off all the lights. We will not join hands and pray. People start shifting places. Why? Let's say some boys are interested in some girl. They quickly look around. Where is the girl they're interested? We are now join hands and pray, quickly same place, right next to her. Different reasons. The touch becomes different. So it's important for us to understand that just a simple touch makes so much difference is that people must learn the boundaries. You do not do certain things with certain people. And you know people who don't know the boundaries? Sometimes it is a man, sometimes it's a lady. Certain ladies don't know how to draw boundaries. Right? You know, every man, they will go the same thing, right? You know, take me out, you know. Instead of taking me into the, take me from the outer court into the Holy of Holies. That is, take me out into the outer court. Different. And so they don't know the limit with people. And sometimes it's a lady who doesn't know the limit that they can go with a man. And there are many types, as I said, there are many barriers in affection. The first barrier before you break the physical barrier is the filial barrier. Before you break the eros barrier, eros all deals with 100% touching. Okay? Eros love is 100% touching. 0% non-touching. Opposite for agape. Filial love involves some form of touching sometimes. Some people do not know when it's appropriate to do a certain thing, when it's not. It's because toge is not established in them. Let me tell you, all the four types of love you must confront. Even if you're called to the single life, you must learn how to handle eros.
Even if you're called to the single life, you must learn how to handle eros. Because our makeup as a human being, we need all the four to flow together. Don't think that now I'm born again, all I need is agape love. Agape love. You find you cannot flow into agape love without dealing with stoge love in your life, if you have a lack of it. Or filial love. How can you love God whom you have not seen? You cannot love your brother or sister whom you can see. See, that has to do with filial. Agape is involved, but filial is tremendously involved too. We need to move and flow in all those realms. That is why we need to examine the lives of people who don't know the limit. Sometimes a brother, right? Some of the sister don't know the limit. A brother don't know the limit. Filial love sets the limit of psychological barriers. Let me give an example. How do people fall into sin? First, their conversation will move into eros before their body. You would not go to a stranger and suddenly discuss about family planning. You would never. But a lot of westernized people do. You sit with them on the train, on the bus. They turn around you. What do you think about sex? And I meet believers who go there and come here and have not renewed themselves in this area. You never break. Because when you break psychological barriers, it will lead you into the eros straight away. Before physical barriers are broken, just like when I stand next to a sister, I don't stand very, very close. I can't illustrate, of course. Right? You maintain a distance. Yet some boys, their body space distance very different. Perhaps they got ulterior motive. Right? Let's say on a minibus, you know that everyone has a private space. That is why on the lift, everyone looks up. Because our private space is violated. So everyone feels uncomfortable, they all look up at the lift. We're all jam-packed. All of us have a private space. And when a private space is entered upon, we begin to look carefully at the person. Yet people who don't understand this space, there is a physical space we observe. But the physical space can be broken if you break the psychological barrier first.
the failure. See, failure has to do with soul and emotion. If you break those barriers, you move quickly into that space. Very fast. Which is why many times in the Christian circles, people whom, especially let's illustrate between the female and a male. The male is in a position of authority. Could be the teacher. Could be the boss of a company. Always, because of the trust that is developed, that is there, and because failure develops, and there are no stoge lines drawn, stoge without failure becomes tauge. Right? No good for anything but just cut and fry. Stoge, failure must be built with stoge. So let's say if you have a proper stoge relationship in your house, then you will know how to relate. Then it's like a person who has a wrong stoge relationship in the home will bring it into their filial relationship. They won't know the limits to go with a lady. And the first thing they do is a conversational barrier. They must know at what level you stop. You don't go proceed further on. Those barriers and those things are going on all the time when you interact with each person. All the time. You're forming filial relationship and you must know where to draw the line. So 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul emphasizes we must extend stoge outward from our family. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Stoge love doesn't just cover your family. In verse 1 and 2, it must be extended outside of your own family. So that tells you how important the seed is in your home. So it says, do not rebuke an elderly man, but exhort him as a father. Let's say that you never had a good relationship with your father. I think you will never be able to have a good relationship with elderly men. If you're rude at home to your own parents, you're used to shouting and screaming. Then when you work under an elderly person, you may tend to do that because your stoge relationship is not developed. You have a stoge vacuum. So remember, stoge and filial must flow together. If you don't flow together, you will drop into eros. That is why within a family relationship, a father must also know the limits that he has with the children. Children with their parents. And I'm sad to say, in Western cultures, all these are broken down. Some of you may have traveled to a Western home. It's not all the time like that, but it's quite, let's say, Australia. No, when I went to one Australian house, I went over, went to the toilet, and I looked at it, I said, how come these toilets don't have locks? Then when I came out, I asked, because you say, why do you ask? I'm interested. First thing I ask is this common? They say, yes. And I find that among the Westerners, they break the law in Deuteronomy where they expose one to another. Parents and children, no problem. No big deal. So because of that wrong stoge relationship in the home, when the person comes out, they are very, quote unquote, in the world, liberated. You can see how stoge and filial goes together. So some people try to develop filial but without stoge. Finish. Tauge. Rotten tauge. It will never work. Paul says, do not rebuke an elderly man but exhort him like a father. So if we never have a father, immediately you have a stoge lack. You need to ask God to fill that vacuum. And it will be a good thing if God brings you in with people who are born again Christian but with fatherly figure in your life who could feel that vacuum. That would really help you to get healed. But very hard to find people to feel the vacuum. I mean, God can feel it many times. The younger men exhort as brothers. Now supposing you're a big bully in your home. All those younger brothers, I mean you just You just a bully. You don't know how to develop stoge love. Guess what? When you get into school, you're a big bully. When you go and when you graduate and you go into the working world, you're a big bully. You're always bullying those younger than you, and you're also bullying those older than you but under you in authority. Why you have developed that? You never have stoge in your life developed, so you never know to draw the boundaries. The older women as mothers, a lot of people don't have a mother's love. There are a lot of men looking for brides, but actually they're looking for lost mothers. And so they are marrying the wife in order for the wife to mother him. That's why I say that sometimes when a man marries, he is a bachelor, he gives out his bachelor and he earns a master. He's not a master in the house. Someone under him. But when a lady marries, she gives up her virginity and she receives a PhD, pampering husband degree. But some men enter the relationship. That's where if you are already married, you got to analyze how you enter your relationship. Because if you enter through all those vacuums and wrong doors, your marriage will have problems that doesn't flow smoothly. The reason why there are a lot of marriage problems is because the agape, the stoge, and the phileo were not developed before they enter eros. Like I say, from eros you could develop the other thing, like we have illustrated the previous time. But you got a lot of this because it's wounded soul, marry wounded soul. So the wound is bigger. Medical treatment takes more. Now you got two guys. Sick ministry, minister to the sick. That is why, do you notice in the book of Genesis, Isaac's relationship with his wife was not all the way smooth. You notice that even in the home, in the book of chapter 24, Isaac got married. Chapter 26, verse 6 and 7, Isaac told his wife. Now, whenever we go, if people, you know, ask us, say we are just brothers and sisters. Isaac! Holy Isaac! Do you know what he's saying? He's playing the mother game because the mother protects the child. Now the wife, you see, the mother will always be willing to sacrifice for the child. And when he entered that marriage relationship, his wife, although he has a sexual relationship with the wife, yet there is also the wife was feeling a stoge vacuum, which should never be. He should have had a stoge vacuum filled by God and then relate to the wife as person to person on an equal basis. Why do you think he asked the wife to protect him? You know, the wife may get taken away. Which is what happens in a mother-child relationship. The mother will pay the price and even put her life down, that the mother will go to sacrificial things in order the child to get a blessing. Mother-son relationship still present with Isaac and wife. For a moment, it reverts back to Isaac and mommy. But it also reverts back to Isaac and wife. Because Abimelech came and saw this Isaac and wife. See, how can you be doing that to your mommy? Or your sister? She says, no, you must be husband and wife. Caught you red-handed. They didn't have a smooth relationship because of that. And that, when they enter that relationship, they didn't enter properly. Which is how we're going to conclude by seeing how you could enter a proper relationship. Now, continuing onwards, you see how, even though God did a lot of things, there was an undercurrent in their relationship. In chapter 27, You notice in verse 5, Rebekah was listening what Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. Now Rebekah, beautiful Rebekah, has been brought in the kind of relationship, and they've got this odd tension going on. Sometimes Isaac is the husband, sometimes Isaac looks like the baby son. And so she begins to play things and do things behind, without informing and discussing it. They never had a real filial relationship, I could show you. Because they never sat down and discussed. They just let it go. Isaac loved Esau, Rebekah loved Jacob. So war in the home. And since they are not a Gulf, we could call it the Gulf crisis. They were near the land of Canaan. So, two against two. But it's all undercurrent. Outwardly, oh, we are a happy family. But inside, one love this son, one love that son, and the two sons also eyeing each other with arrows in their eyes. With all this kind of tension going on in their home, they never have what I call dialogue. You see, dialogue can only come from philosophia, meeting of the mind. They have never loved each other in a mind. In other words, Isaac may have fallen in love when he saw Rebekah's beautiful body. He may have fallen in love with her body. He may have fallen in love with her soul capacity as a woman who could mother him. But he had never fallen in love with her mind and her ability, which can only come in a filial relationship. And so they never have dialogue in the home. And in a lot of marriages, it's one-way traffic. One-way traffic. Sometimes this way, sometimes the road sign changes, it goes that way. And worse still, in some homes, there are a lot of traffic lights. All going red or green at the same time. Some turning rainbow. So the roads are not smooth. That's why you have all this scheming going on behind. Even though they were married for umpteen years, they never shared a true filial relationship. How sad. We may look in the Bible and say, how sad. In reality, there are a lot of marriages like that, my friend. They are only remaining married because they got the children now. They're staying together only because of the children. Sometimes they have even lost touch with Eros, which should have been a part of their relationship. We will give you a few other marriages. Look at Moses in Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 2. We read about how Moses got married, and here again it's like a soul compatibility. It was a situation where he came and he stayed with a person, may live with a wife, but there were a lot of things that they couldn't dialogue together properly. Part of filial relationship is learning to dialogue. If you have never been able to dialogue as a husband and a wife, you're only sharing Eros love, maybe Stoge love, as father and mother, but never filial love. Agape love, yes, because you pray together. But filial love, no. The dialogue in it at times, it comes out. And in that situation, in verse 21, Moses was content to live with the man. Do you notice something wrong there? It did not say Moses was content to live with the wife. In other words, he was a backslider here. He was coming down and going back into the worldly frame of things. Jethro had everything planned, and he just moved in into that flow, hoping that it turned out well. He was there because it was convenient. After all, he was a stranger here. Now where to go? Now where to stay? And Zipporah may be a token out of the thing, the king. He never really developed a good relationship with his wife. Perhaps later he did. But we know that he did not, because in chapter 3, after the Lord appeared to him in verse 20, verse 20, chapter 4, verse 20 to 26, they have their argument. And you know what they're arguing about? Religion. They don't even have their agape sorted out right, their spiritual aspects, and their filial, and they are married with two children. Exodus chapter 4. So they never have a filial agape sorted out. And never could flow fully. Then what are the kind of relationship God wants us to have? We're talking about courtship and marriage. You see, the best is we could really develop and get healed in your inward man, your inward being. People who are attracted to one girl, then another girl, another girl, another girl, there's something wrong in their life. Not with those girls. Something wrong in them. It's just like man has a vacuum for God if they don't know God. And man will replace that vacuum with other gods or idols if he doesn't find Jehovah God. So that vacuum and that wound, stoge and phileo, a lot of people will try to replace it with eros. Because they think through eros they got physical contact, and through that they can have some phileo or some sort of stoge. But it never ends up happily. You don't have the kind of fairy tale marriage that say, and they live happily ever after. Instead you have the other thing, and they constantly bicker and fight on and on. It's important for us to analyze all these things, and with this understanding we're going to bring forward what is the best, the optimum. We need to be able to develop, to get healed in our inward being. We have to examine our lives. We know that marriage consists of all those areas, and also primarily eros. See, eros or physical love can never truly be what God means it to be. It is supposed to be the climax of the filial relationship, not the beginning to a filial relationship. And so it's God's intention that we truly develop and learn the ability to relate. If, ladies, you are never able to relate closely with a good brother or sister, average or below average, or you know, someone you could admire and love and be a friend, and you could never relate to them without getting attracted to them sexually, there's something wrong with you that you need to ask God to fill that vacuum in your life. Because there's a vacuum of stoge and phileo, subconsciously you're trying to replace it with that. Until the day you could be able to closely relate with people, brother and sister, or let's say brothers, if you find that every time you work closely with any girl, whether you're already going steady or even you're married, and you start getting attracted to them on the eros level, you better get on your knees before God, because there's a vacuum in your life that you have never allowed God to touch. And you need God to fill those areas. But the day comes as you allow God to touch you and feel you and wipe out this vacuum in your life, you're able to have true filial with people, because stoge is well established. You are able to draw boundaries. You say, I will have a filial relationship with you, but here's the boundary. And you have different levels of filial relationship with people, but you have a different boundary. We have boundary, you say. No, we're very close. We can talk things. You know, like some of those who are with me, let's say, we have Claire Hamilton. She's a very wonderful sister. She does all the things for us in New Zealand. She could ask us anything, and we could discuss anything. But we have a close, finely defined relationship. And I would say, all right, this is where, you know, the line is. Sometimes those boundaries, remember, every person you meet with, you have a boundary. Whether you have brought it out or it's spoken or unspoken, there is a boundary. But the boundary keeps changing if your stoge is not perfected. But when you're a perfect stoge, let's say we have no lovely sisters working in our office, we have good relationships, and we are able to relate with brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters, and draw boundaries. Sometimes those boundaries are not spoken. But it's like an undercurrent that you understand. These are where the boundaries are. We love each other, we have respect for one another. Because of that, you have respect for each other's body. You have respect for each other's background. And you know the line to draw. And draw those lines. And the best is when you sit into the agape love. Agape love is a spiritual ecstasy. See, all these four types of love, if you move into them, feel very good. It is good to be loved by our parents. Don't you feel that good sensation? Even when you're a child, there's nothing like your mama or your papa tucking you in bed. It feels good. All this type of love feels good in its context. It has this different form of sensation. That is why the next time you say, you know, you're attracted or you're falling in love, please begin to examine. I think I'm in love with this person. Then let's take that love and examine it. Right now we can analyze stoge, philia, agape, eros, which one? If it's slowly building up, there will be a play of all four in courtship and marriage. But it must move solidly in the Lord. But agape relationship has its ecstasy. It's a spiritual form of ecstasy that you would give your life in order to let that love flow to the person. It's quite hard to describe, but I'll try. Let me illustrate with Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In verse 17, 18 and 19, there was this young man. He came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus told him what he must do. And then he said in verse 20, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, agape him. Now, there's something happening here. Sometimes you read how Jesus have compassion coming out from him. That compassion comes from agape. It is a spiritual ecstasy that flows out to you, that comes from the heartbeat of God. When Jesus had that, he had this special love and drawing towards this man. Why do they call it an ecstasy? In an ecstasy, you momentarily lose control of your understanding. It goes beyond your understanding. See, how do you describe an ecstatic joy? Anything that you can control is not ecstasy yet. Unless it explodes in pleasure, that's ecstasy. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, it says that the love of God can come into our life and it can go beyond our understanding and comprehension. To know the depth, the width, the length, the breadth of God's love. Paul is talking about a spiritual ecstasy that flows from the Spirit of God.
And sometimes you could just feel that love that comes. It's a pure love that comes from God. And that is why every time you enter in a fire relationship, and when the borders were going to be changed in the illegal border, in other words, it's going to be broken down, where it's illegal to drop into eros, but you choose to maintain it, something wells up from inside you. You find a greater strength. You begin to draw strength from the inward man that you never draw before. The resources of God. And you become a better person than you've ever been. So will the other person. You become a stronger and a better person. More perfect like God. So agape is a spiritual ecstasy. Just like eros is a natural ecstasy. See, in a relationship between male and female, when they move through in the eros, is a natural orgasm or ecstasy. It's opposite. The spiritual side is a spiritual ecstasy. So I could imagine here comes this young man to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. And when Jesus saw him, Jesus had that feeling for him. You can call it a feeling. But it's a feeling for him. It's a love that is drawn out. A love that came. For God so loved the world that he gave. How to describe it? You know how sometimes in your personal experience with God, where you are caught into the ecstasy of God's love sometimes, when you get in the presence of God so much, you move out, and when you look at people, you really felt that compassion go towards them. That's what I mean by spiritual ecstasy. That's agape love. That really flows up from God. The very opposite of eros. So that develops our inward being and strengthens our stoging and our phileo. So when the ecstasy of the agape love leaves, or rather it resides in our spirit, it needs to infiltrate and move, permeate into our soul as our soul moves up in phileo love and stoge love. So your soul will be able to move in a greater measure of stoge and phileo love than you have ever done before. That's powerful. When you're able to move that way, can you imagine if you could flow in that depth of friendship, relationship with every person, and in that way, in phileo, with agape love, and then with all these things, and God began to speak to your life about the one he planned for you. Then your courtship, you begin to go into courtship and marriage. Then you taste the fullness of what God means a courtship and marriage to be. Some of us didn't have it that way. You got to go back to do your homework. Some of you just married like that. You got to go back and do your homework. Because your marriages are not at A1. They may be at B7. Some are F9. Some are on credit C5. But God wants us to develop our marriages until it's A1. And it's only in a marriage relationship that God allows you to move into the fullness of all the four types of love. Outside the marriage relationship, God allows you to move into the fullness of agape, stoge, and phileo. To the fullness. So understand that. And tonight, as we go to God in prayer, we're going to pray especially for inner healing. Because some of us are not able to move into phileo because of stoge. We need to undo all those things. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we ask that you, Holy Spirit, will continue to move into our hearts and minds. You are not here tonight. And Father, when we begin to sense that there are imbalances in our ability to flow correctly with other human beings, whether imbalances of Eros, Philia, Soge. We ask, O God, that your Holy Spirit will come into our hearts right now to examine our hearts and our minds. That we will see ourselves as you see us, so that we would not get easily infatuated, easily start flesh, and take the wrong shortcut into the kind of relationship we never wanted to enter into. In the impure relationship, we ask, O God, that your Holy Spirit will quicken our heart, understanding in our mind, even tonight. And you bring a healing to everyone here. If everyone under the sound of my voice has a wound in their soge ability, they're heating up their fire. We ask right now, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will come into their life and you will heal that wound. We ask, O God, that may you establish strong fire relationships, O God, among your people. And we ask for each one that attended this course and those that are listening to this word and this message to take or any other name, that your Holy Spirit will meet every need in their life. Because they are natural beings to meet their physical needs. Their physical needs to be touched, to be loved. Their physical needs, O Lord, in Eros. In their soul needs, O Lord, of stoking, smiling, friendship. Most of all, feel that we are agape love, O God. We pray, O God, that you minister to every need. And you will bring to pass the desire of their heart. Even the last time that you have planned for their life. We ask that your angels to go before them. And all they need to do is keep faithful to what you're calling to. And then you will supply every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we know those needs include even a life partner that God will supply. We thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit quicken our lives, heal, touch, mold, make, and feel our lives, O God, for your almighty presence. We ask, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So tonight, those of you who are taking the test, we invite Brother Amos to come, and it will be a very simple test. And those of you who need to go, you may feel free to go.